pray while we're standing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for being our Father, for looking out for us, watching over us, and for drawing us to yourself, O Lord. Thank you once again for the word, your word, Father, that was held before us today, that was lifted up. And for you, Lord Jesus, who were exalted and lifted up today. It is our desire, Lord, to know you, to walk with you, to stand up and to walk forward together in service to you, Lord, to bring you honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for being a faithful and merciful God toward us. Thank you for your many blessings upon our lives. Today, we're just looking to you again as we open your word, praying, Father, that you would minister to each of our hearts as we are together. Quicken your word, Lord, and feed your people. Truly, my confidence and my hope lies in thee and thee alone. I have no ability in my own strength or wisdom to do this, Father. But we thank you that you are faithful. And we expect this from you, Lord, asking that you encourage us, strengthen us, rebuke us, whatever your word has for us today, Father. And give us the direction through the Holy Spirit. Unite our hearts together in one common cause to worship, to live for you, and to exalt and magnify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you, Brother Josh, for those words. Let's remember Josh and Diane as they go to Haiti, maybe in the emails even, and especially in prayer and lifting them up. What a blessing. We believe that that is near to the heart of God, that His people live together, not only tolerate each other, but actually love one another. And it is truly only through the eyes of Christ that this can happen. And Christ being the Lord of each of our lives. Okay, I think we'll turn to Psalm 23. Look at the first part of the last verse here today. As we've been going through Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's an encouraging thought, isn't it? I trust that that is the confidence that we have this morning, that David had here. Let's read Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're wanting to look here at the first part of verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And just in a little bit, a few thoughts in review here was last time, I think it was some time ago actually, we looked at the little phrase at the end of verse 5, my cup runneth over. Jesus says, I came to give my life for the sheep that they might have life. And then they might have it more abundantly. I like that picture. I like that thought. He not only came to give His life that we might have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. Yesterday we were talking in our Bible study in the morning about fruit, bearing fruit, and noting some of the different references that Jesus made in John 15, talking about much fruit. Hallelujah. I like those adjectives and those abounding words that abound and more than abound. And what an encouragement. But here in this last verse, this was kind of the conclusion. You know, we had discussed this some before, and it's kind of interesting. David began the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then we looked at the kind of almost a boast. This was a testimony. This was not just something that he intellectually knew, but he could honestly say, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That was also a statement of faith. I believe it was his testimony, but I believe it was also a statement of faith. Now, he, in the middle of these four verses in between verse 1 and verse 6, he gives us some more practical examples as to how the Lord, when the Lord is his shepherd, how he doesn't want, or how his needs are fulfilled or supplied. And then, here in verse 6, you kind of see them escalating. You kind of see one building on another, and you see his provisions, the Lord providing for him in practical ways, and then protection, and then walking with him, leading him. We saw in verse 4, thy rod and thy staff. We saw their chastisement. And we saw in verse 5 about a table in the presence of mine enemies, and my head anointed with oil and my cup just running over. And it's kind of like he could have kept on going here, but he kind of ended with this verse again. But it says a lot. The same thing that the first verse said. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's just kind of as it's going along. He says, this is how it's been, and surely this will be how it shall be. Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That makes the difference. It made the difference in David's life. When he found the Lord as his shepherd. And you know, when we looked at verse 1, we discussed that some about Christ filling the role of a shepherd in our lives. And even as a church here, but as in our individual lives, it's important that we find him as fulfilling that role as shepherd. He wants to be our shepherd. Someone has said here in this last verse that it's kind of like on the road and at home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's on the road. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever at home. And I have to think of that some this morning. And if we just draw the road, you know, I think of the road. The road's probably, it's got some curves in it and whatever you have. But we're going to be thinking of that. Sometimes it seems like a long road. But we're going to... We're going to have a gate here, and then we have the home. We have home, finally home. We'll be looking at that next time, Lord willing. But this part of this little verse speaks about being on the road home, we could say. On the road. You know, when there's not a whole lot, when you start looking at goodness and mercy, there's not a whole lot left out. We think of God. We could add all of his attributes there, but in a sense, a lot of them fall under goodness or mercy. Most of his attributes fall under there. Most of the blessings, I don't know if you can tell me or not, but I don't know what's lacking in goodness and mercy. There isn't much that's lacking there. On the road, when great princes go to a foreign country, they never go unattended. They never go alone. They're always attended by, or accompanied by attendants. It's an interesting thought. We're on the road. We're in a foreign country. Heaven is our home. We have goodness and mercy to attend us along the way. Now, we're kind of just going to break this down here and look at some of these words. We've done it different ways, I know, but this morning I felt kind of led to do this way. Let's look at surely. This is a condition. There's a condition that has to be met in order for us to live in the confidence of this word surely. Surely it speaks of confidence. It speaks of absoluteness. It speaks of truly. It just speaks of a confidence when we look at it this morning. There's confidence in that word, surely. It doesn't mean hopefully, It says, surely. This was the confidence that David had. And you know, it was not a confidence that was based upon a life of ease in a lack of circumstances that were challenges in his life. It wasn't based on that. But it was rather, and we'll look at that some more, it was a confidence that was based on the goodness of God, on his faithfulness in the past. And it would really be interesting for me to know when he wrote this Psalm, Psalm 23. If he did it in his, you know, at a young age, it was definitely a statement of confidence. If he did it in his older age, it was still a statement of confidence, but his life was truly attended with many challenging circumstances. All the way up till he was almost on his deathbed, his own sons were fighting over who would have the kingdom. Just a lot of challenges there. This was not, I just want to establish, is this too close? Okay. I just want to establish the fact that he didn't say surely with confidence because there was a lack of challenging circumstances in his life. Rather, he said surely with confidence because the Lord was his shepherd. First of all, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. Now he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There's a lot. We looked at that. We looked at what it means, what the difference will be in a sheep's life, depending who the shepherd is. It makes a big difference in a sheep's life who his shepherd is, whether or not he's going to be a sheep that's doing well and healthy and who's you know, in a sense, bringing glory to his shepherd, or whether he's going to be a discontented, ill-fed and ill-cared for sheep. So there's a lot of confidence. But I just want to establish the fact that the confidence is based not upon circumstances or the lack of challenges, but rather upon the state of being under the Lord as his shepherd. It's important in order to say with confidence and to know and believe with confidence in our hearts that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. We must first have the Lord as our shepherd. I just want to say that again. Remember, and I just recap some thoughts of what it means to have Jehovah as our shepherd, the good shepherd. You know, if the Lord is our shepherd, then we can say, and we must in our hearts this morning, realize with confidence that goodness and mercy will follow us. Our moods shift. Many times, depending on the circumstances that come our way or the challenges that we find ourselves in, our moods shift, but God doesn't. Our minds change. Sometimes we change our minds. We're that type of people. Sometimes we change our mind. Sometimes we decide that I was wrong and we change our mind and that's good. Sometimes we change our mind, not necessarily for the good, but God doesn't. God doesn't. And the confidence that we can come with this morning and with confidence in our hearts believe that goodness and mercy will follow us so that we can say, surely this will be the testimony of my life. That confidence is based on the unchangeableness of God. Our devotion may falter. Paul wrote that if we fail, he remains faithful or something, for he cannot deny himself. But our devotion may falter, but God never does. He is committed to being our shepherd. He's committed to seeing us on the road, to leading us and being with us on the road home. He's committed to doing that and walking with us, to being our shepherd on the road. He's committed to that, and he never changes. His devotion to accomplish that purpose, to bring us home safely, his devotion for that will never change. He's as passionate about bringing you home safely as he was when you were first converted. That is his goal. That is the devotion in his heart. That is his passion. A true shepherd. We see the picture Jesus gives us in Luke 15, how he had 100 sheep and one was lost. How he left those 99 with the devotion to put that sheep back on the road home, we could say. God is sure and steadfast. Therefore, we can say, surely, We can say it with confidence. We can believe it this morning, not just say it, but we can believe it, and we must. If the Lord is our shepherd, we can believe with confidence in our hearts that goodness and mercy will follow us. Surely, because God has never failed in the past, because He is unchangeable, His ways, He never changes. Therefore, we can, with confidence, we can say surely. The Hebrew definition for that word simply means it's a word of affirmation. It has been translated only in some of the translations, only goodness and mercy. Yet it's still one of confidence. It's one of affirmation. Surely, goodness and mercy. Let's take a look a little bit at goodness. Actually, before we do, let's turn to Psalm. I had a passage I wanted to look at. Psalm 27, I believe. Psalm 27, verse 13. These are words that David used quite a bit in the Psalms. Psalm 27, verse 13, just a few pages over or one. David wrote that, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So these words were, not just things that he mentioned. This was confidence in David's life. This was reality. This was, his hope was based on them. He says, "I had fainted." He would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This morning, we will faint if we do not believe that we will see the goodness of God, or don't see the goodness of God in our lives in the land of the living. Let's look at goodness a little bit. Let's turn to Psalm 33:5. Psalm 33:5, David writes, "He loveth righteousness and judgment." Speaking of the Lord, "the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." The earth is full of His goodness. I don't know, many times we don't see that, do we? Do we see that the earth is full of God's goodness? That is the fact. And if we're not engaged, in other words, or drawing from the reality of that fact, then it's our fault. We're not seeing the earth through the eyes of the Lord. And let's turn to Exodus 33. This is an interesting passage to me when we think of the goodness of God. Exodus 33 and verse 19. This is an account with Moses had with the Lord on the mount. And I just want to, this word is very inclusive. Exodus 33:19, "And he said," God said to Moses, in verse 18, Moses said to the Lord, and he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Moses was speaking to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 19, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." That verse has both of these in it. Goodness and mercy. Basically, that's what it consists of. And when David says that goodness and mercy will follow me, he's meaning all that's entailed in that. When God said to Moses, after Moses asked to see his glory, God said, I will make my goodness to pass before you. And then in Exodus 34, verse 6, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth." So when we think of goodness, in this context, I want us to think of God. These are attributes of who God is. He is goodness. I think also of Jesus Christ when I think of goodness. But you know what he said when the men came to him and called him good master? He said, "There is no one good but my Father, which is in heaven." So when we think of goodness following after us all the days of our life, we're thinking of God and His presence there. We think of the presence of God. That's the picture I get. We think of being on the road, and we think we have the picture that God is there with us. I believe that was the encouragement that David found. I just have a few more verses here. Psalms 34, going back to Psalms here, if you'll let me. Psalms 34, switch back there to verse 10. You can kind of say this is a little bit of a Bible study this morning. I have a fair amount of references and don't have that many thoughts wrote down. Psalms 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I don't know what you think of when you see these promises like that, but I encourage you to write them down, especially in your heart, and stand on those promises. Believe those promises. I think that's what David was doing when he said that surely, with confidence, goodness and mercy will follow me because I am under the shepherd's care. He is my shepherd, experientially, not just by word, but experientially, he is my shepherd. That is where I'm at. That's my condition. Or that's the state that I'm in. I'm under his care. And because of that, goodness and mercy will follow me. And here in this verse, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's quite a statement, especially you as a young person. It doesn't matter what age you're at, but as a young person, you can underline that verse and you can meditate on that for some time. But let that verse set the course of your life. If I seek the Lord, I will not want any good thing. And God knows the best for me. God knows what will really bring me happiness and joy and satisfaction in life. The things of this world are only temporal. God knows, He made us. He knows what the joy that will really bring us lasting joy and peace. And I can't help but think of the verse has been very dear to my wife and I in Psalm 37, where it kind of says the same thing. Delight thyself in verse 4 also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let that set the course of your direction. And we have the promise in Scripture that if the Lord is your shepherd, your eye is upon him, and you desire and seek after him as we just read, they that seek the Lord, we shall not lack in any good thing. For His glory. Hallelujah. What is lacking in goodness? God's goodness. What's lacking in God's goodness? What do you yet need besides the goodness of God? Someone tell me. I don't know if there's much lacking in the goodness of God. But when we add mercy, then we have something. Then we have all sufficiency, don't we? There's not much lacking in goodness, but when you add mercy to it, why then you are well supplied. Psalm 51, or actually 52, verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The goodness of God will prevail. Don't you know that is what David's saying here? Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, thou mighty man? Thou man who thinks you are something, who you have maybe some strength. Why do you boast yourself in mischief? Don't you know that the goodness of God will endure always? The goodness of God will always prevail, we could say. I think the goodness of God will always endure. Psalm 84. It's a few verses through here. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. So we see also this is a confidence. And just turning the page to Psalm 85, verse 12. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. We saw Christ as a good shepherd, and He is our good shepherd. There's nothing lacking in this goodness. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Goodness. The goodness of God. There's no wonder David said, my cup is running over. When God begins to pour His goodness into our lives, our cup just runs over. We can't contain the goodness of God. We have only experienced a little bit of the goodness of God. God is wanting us to experience His goodness as we travel the road home for His glory. He has much more goodness He's wanting to put into our lives for His glory. Let's turn to Philemon over in the New Testament, the little book of Philemon right before Hebrews. There's a verse in there that blessed me tremendously in the light of this. Philemon, verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. Paul's writing here. He says, verse 4 actually, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now verse 6. That the communication, in other words, the participation of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And what Paul's writing here to Philemon is saying, he's praying that that you might experience the participation of thy faith may become effectual. And then he says how this will happen. He's praying that his faith would be effectual. And he says how this will happen is by the acknowledging, by the recognition or the discernment or the I think that's the same word of knowledge there we've been looking at in Colossians 1, in the Greek. But it's by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That is how your faith will become effectual. And that is my heart this morning as we are on the road home. As we're on the road, Christ, as we even quoted it yesterday, that we all things that pertain unto life and godliness, all things, the goodness of God, all things are given to us in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge, acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Because you have placed yourself under the Good Shepherd, because Jesus Christ is your Shepherd, if that is the case in your life, and He is in you, as He lives in you, there are many good things there in Him. Not necessarily in you. Paul said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. And more I'm realizing that. But there, as Christ is in us, as He is our Shepherd, goodness, there's an unlimited amount of goodness because Jesus Christ is there. And Paul's praying to Philemon that this goodness, every good thing, that you might just acknowledge every good thing that is there because of Jesus Christ. That is my prayer for you this morning. Are you satisfied with the Shepherd's goodness, or are we pursuing other goodness? It's a thought just to leave you with this morning, a question. Are you satisfied in the Shepherd's goodness? Is it His goodness that is abounding in your life? Or are you pursuing or looking after some other goodness? Let's look at mercy a little bit. We know this is another attribute of God. We had looked at it. We are so dependent upon the mercy of God, aren't we? I'll speak for myself. I am very dependent on God's mercy. It is so encouraging to me. And you know, there are reasons clear through the scriptures over and over. That is why we have the whole scripture. That's why we have the revelation of God clear through the scriptures. God's showing us His goodness. He's showing us His mercy. He knows that we are in need of both. He knows that without both of them active in our life, us experiencing God's goodness and His mercy, that we will be a failure. We will bring no glory to Him, and we will be a failure in this world. He knows our need of His goodness and His mercy. And clear through the scriptures, we have a revelation of these two. You can thread them clear through the scriptures. You can look at His dealings with the children of Israel. There's a tremendous testimony, an encouragement to us of His goodness and His mercy. We are so dependent upon them, and God knows that. But He also knows that many times when our faith wavers, our enemy is to direct our focus and the gaze of our heart to our own goodness or to our own ability and not see His goodness and mercy. And we see that in the Pharisees. What happened? They became such a hardened people. They weren't even useful in God's purpose anymore because they were not depending on God's goodness. They had their own and they didn't need any mercy. Look at the publican in the Pharisee that went up to pray. The Pharisee never asked for mercy. He never thanked God for His goodness. He said, "I thank You, Lord, that I'm not like other men." He didn't need God's mercy. That's why he never asked for it. It is important that we see this. It is important that we see our need of God's goodness and His mercy in our work, in our lives. It will make all the difference as to us bearing much fruit. Or it'll make all the difference to our walk on the road as we travel home. Whether or not we're fruitful, or whether we're going in our own goodness, in our own ability, in our own strength, in our own righteousness. But as for me, I need the mercy of God. Psalms 13. Let's turn back to Psalms here. We have a few verses. I'm going to kind of keep moving along here. Psalms 13, verse 5. David writes here. He says, "I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. I have trusted in Thy mercy." Let's turn to Psalm 25, 7. Again here. Psalm 25, 7. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness sake, O Lord." And then verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, because of that, will He teach sinners in the way." There's just so much in verse 10. "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." Psalms 33. I'm just going to read some of these off. There would be comments to be made. Psalms 33. This verse has become so dear to me last while. I've been just meditating on this verse. "Behold, consider, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." You see, God is wanting us. He knows how much we need His goodness and His mercy in our life. And His heart is moved and touched. It's a state of humility. It's humbling ourselves. It's also part of faith. I mean, you can look at both, but humbling ourselves, hoping in God's mercy, putting ourselves completely dependent upon His mercy. You know, we are dependent. We are so dependent on the mercy of God. If for one moment He withdraws His mercy from my life, I am lost. I am done. It is only the mercy of God that keeps me anywhere in the position at all that I can rejoice in. But if He withdraws His mercy at any time, we're hopeless. And He is looking for people who are dependent, who are, as it says here, who are hoping, who are expecting in His mercy. Hallelujah. That's why, so when we say this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life," we see it's also a statement of faith, confidence, dependency. There are many others we could look at. Our Father is merciful. He is rich in mercy, the Scriptures tell us. God is rich in mercy. Aren't we glad this morning that God is rich in mercy? We think of Jesus Christ again. You know, when we think of goodness, Jesus Christ was goodness in the flesh. He was the goodness of God in the flesh. That's what He was. And the Scriptures say He went around about doing good. That's all He did. He went about doing good. He was the goodness of God in flesh. And we see that also with mercy. He was the mercy of God, extending mercy to those He met and in imparting goodness to them instead of justice. Hallelujah. We can just look at Jesus Christ. But so when we think of goodness following us on the road home, well, that's encouraging to me. Goodness and the mercy of God. There's not much lacking there, brothers and sisters. If we have the Lord as our shepherd, that is the state that we find ourselves in. We have more than just in word, but we have made Him experientially our shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will follow us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Hallelujah. We must have confidence. And over in the Psalms, in the Psalms we see, in the songs that the children of Israel sang, some of them you get tired of reading it. And we just read it and we close it out. We don't even think about what we're reading. But some of those Psalms say, His mercy endureth forever. It just has it in there over and over and over and over and over. God does not want us to forget His mercy. If we forget the mercy of God, we're in a terrible state. We, like Peter says, we forget that we've once been purged or what we've been purged from. That's a terrible state, and God knows that we'll be of no use to Him if we forget His mercy and our dependence upon it. Hebrews chapter 4 kind of puts these two together, I think, very nicely. Hebrews 4. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Those two are both there, the goodness of God and His grace and the mercy of God. Let us do that, brothers and sisters. Let us find ourselves constantly not just knowing about God's goodness and His mercy, but experiencing His goodness and His mercy. Because it will raise in our hearts, by our lives, a worship and a praise that will bring Him glory. Now, let's look at this little phrase quickly here that says, shall follow me. That is an interesting picture that I didn't know of before I started looking into it. But when you think of this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let's look at what that means. Follow simply means here, it means to run after. It means to follow after. It actually has more of a, usually with hostile intent, it says. Usually it's an aggressiveness of running after. And so the picture we have here, we have goodness and mercy, not just way behind there, so that when I fall and I need mercy, I need to turn around and go way back to find mercy. But rather, we have mercy right there, right behind us as we travel. It's following right after us. The goodness of God and the mercy of God as we're on the road, as we're traveling in this life of faith in Christianity, the mercy and the goodness of God are right there behind us. Don't look at them as way back there, but they're right there. And God's wanting us to experience them. Someone has said, the shepherd is leading, and the goodness and the mercy are the, I think it's a pretty crude example, but they're the sheepdogs that follow behind. We never know what the future shall bring, but if the Lord is our shepherd, we can be confident that His goodness and mercy will be there. We don't know what it will bring. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we can know that the goodness of God will be there tomorrow, and the mercy of God will be there. Isn't that encouraging? We can know that. That's what David's saying. I don't know what I'll face tomorrow or next year, but I know that the goodness of God will be there for me and the mercy of God. And that, you know, that just convicts my own heart. Many times we face a circumstance, we never stop and turn to the God. We never stop and turn to Him to experience that goodness and mercy. Rather, we try to plow ahead, or we allow the circumstances to redirect our course. We never turn, but the goodness and mercy of God will be there. Hallelujah. We're not promised easy days that are free from challenges, but we are promised the presence of goodness and mercy to persevere through our challenges. And I couldn't help but think of, I'll just read it here for sake of time. But in Joshua 1, verse 5, let me read that to you. This was just as they were beginning, and you know this was a type of the Christian life, going into a deeper Christian life. Joshua was their leader. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. That's the God, that's our shepherd that we have. The Lord is our shepherd. He is a shepherd that will never leave us nor fail us. And we have something similar to that here in Hebrews 13. Let me just read it to you. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Paul was, or the writer of Hebrews here was saying, let that content you. Let that bring content and confidence in your life. Because I will never leave thee. My goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life. We could look at the example of the children of Israel. And you know, a few weeks ago I briefly shared on this thought. But the presence of God is what made the difference in the temple. But we can look at the children of Israel. It was the presence of God that made the difference in their history. As history is recorded, whether or not they prospered, it was not whether or not they had the lack of challenges, the lack of fights and wars and battles. That wasn't what made the difference. The difference made through it all was whether God was there and whether they turned to Him and experienced His goodness and mercy. It made all the difference to whether they won their battles, whether they prospered as a nation, or whether they failed. It made all the difference. And it will in your life, and it will in my life. If it will make all the difference, if His goodness and mercy is being displayed in our life, it will make a difference. Not the challenges we face, not the circumstances that come our way. That won't, just, you know, all days of peace aren't necessarily days of happiness. When there's no trouble, the lack of trouble doesn't mean there's joy and happiness. But the presence of goodness and mercy, the presence of Jesus Christ is what will make the difference through our challenges. This is the testimony of all of God's people who have turned their hearts toward Him. The testimony of confidence, a testimony of experience. Surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. When God gave Adam, when He gave him His, the curse, if you want, or when He rebuked him in Genesis 3:17, He told him that you would sweat with your brow, you would work the ground, you would work basically for your living. It says all the days of your life. That's not going to change. And we know it hasn't. It's the same phrase that's used in this psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Although we will toil, we will work with the sweat of our brow, earn our bread, so to speak. The same thing is there. I mean, the same way that will never change, the same way this will never change, as God's goodness and mercy is there for us, as if He is our shepherd. We don't know what is before us, good days or challenging days. We tend to worry about the challenges of tomorrow. But the Lord has said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And Jesus taught us this in the New Testament. He taught us to give no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. He never taught us to worry about that. But He wants us to look to Him. It doesn't mean that we can't vegetables in the summer so we have something to eat in the winter. That's not what He's referring to. But He's saying, take no thought. In other words, don't be worried. And you know, that's a challenge. But that's where I want to challenge your life. Is your faith working in such a way when you know there's a challenge coming your way that you're going to be facing? Do you turn to the goodness of God and the mercy? Do you experience that goodness? And then just lay that to rest at His feet. You know, it's kind of like as we're traveling on this road, it's kind of like coming to a little hill, and that's where we are today. We're on this little hill and we're looking out down the road, so to speak, but we can only see what we can travel today, not even that far, because we meet things on a daily basis we weren't expecting. But it's kind of like as we're traveling down this road, we're enshrouded in a cloud of mist, and we're just directed on our course. And we don't know what's there and what the future is holding for us. But we can be confident that goodness and mercy will be there for us. Hallelujah. We don't know what we'll face, but we know. We can know. And we can live in peace in our hearts. Even joy with anticipating the future. that no matter what challenge comes, it will be an opportunity for God to display His goodness and His mercy in our life. We can be confident, like David, that goodness and mercy will be there all the days of our lives. We believe that we will see God's goodness and glory, don't we? When we get home, we'll look at that, Lord willing, next time. We believe when we get home, we'll see God's goodness. Why don't we believe that we'll see it today? Why don't we see it today? Why don't we allow Him to show us His goodness on a day-to-day basis? His goodness and His mercy. He's wanting to show it to us daily or regularly as we travel on this road. Now, we're going to look at this from another perspective just a little bit. I read an account where two men, they came to stay at a place for a week. And after they had left, they realized they forgot something. And so they called back. And they asked, "Have you found those things that we've left?" And the people said, "You know, all that you've left behind is a blessing. That's all you've left behind. We don't, is that, that's a challenge to my own life. When we think of goodness and mercy following after, I want us to look at it from this perspective. Is that our testimony? Do goodness and mercy follow after? When we travel somewhere, when we stay someplace, what are we leaving behind? Is our testimony like these people that all you left behind was a blessing? Hallelujah. What are we leaving behind us? What is following us? We can look at this from that way, I think, and not do it any injustice. Are goodness and mercy following after me in the path? In other words, I picture a boat. Is this what's following in the wake as I travel down this road? Do I leave behind peace or turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind contentment or conflict? What are we leaving behind us as we travel through life? As we have relationships and people we come in contact with, what are we leaving behind? Do I leave behind joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or tension? We know that it was said of Jesus Christ that He went about doing good. You could literally follow where Jesus had been by the people that He left behind. You could literally follow where He traveled because of the wake or the people that He left behind. He left goodness and He left mercy. Everywhere He traveled, that was the testimony. You know, we know that the Pharisees hated Him, but it was because of the light that shone in darkness, and they loved darkness rather than light. But what follows me through my life? What is my testimony? Because something is following me. Goodness and mercy is following me. I understand that. God's goodness and mercy. But at the same time, you see, I'm switching this over. As we're going through life making choices, as we're traveling through this on this road, we're leaving behind these things. They're following after us. And someday, as we stand before God, these things that we left behind that are following after us will catch up to us. Like Aiden said this morning, they will catch up to us if we're leaving things behind that aren't good. What I am full of, this is what I will leave behind. Whatever I am full of, my life is full of. If I am full of God's goodness and His mercy, if I'm experiencing that, that's what I'll leave behind. But if I'm full of myself, if I'm full of sin or selfish motives or whatever it is, that's what I'll leave behind. That's what will follow after me. You know, we have had different guests at our home. Some of them were just more of a blessing than others. Some of them left behind a real blessing. Even for days afterwards, you kind of just remember your time together. They left a blessing. And others, you know, there was just difference. There was different levels in the blessing they left behind. What do we leave behind? What's following after us in our journey home? The goodness of God, that will suffice for me, especially as we add the goodness and then the mercy of God, there's not much lacking. To have the goodness of God to follow me, that is fullness indeed. Christ lived a life that was secure in his Father's presence. He left behind a testimony of goodness and mercy. We can truly say of Jesus Christ, surely goodness and mercy followed him all the days of his life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that we might consider and ponder the things that you've laid on our hearts, that you would lead us on and direct us. Help us, Lord, to focus our single gaze upon you, Lord Jesus, as the shepherd, our shepherd. May you not just be the good shepherd, but may you be my shepherd. May we intimately know you as the shepherd. And may you fulfill those positions in our life, the role of a shepherd in our hearts, in our lives. We know that you're longing to do that, Lord. And we pray that this would be the case in each of our lives. Thank you, Father, for the work you've begun in our lives. And we ask that you take us on. Lead us on the road. We desire to safely arrive home. Our desire is on the road and at home to worship you and to praise and to glorify you. And we know, Lord, that if we experience your goodness and mercy as we travel on the road, we know that that will bring you glory and honor. That is our prayer this morning. May your goodness and your mercy abound in our hearts, in our lives. May those around us see them there, and may you be glorified, Lord Jesus. We love you and we bless you. Thank you for this time together. In your name we pray. Amen.